KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. As the holidays approach, we reach out, as we do each year around this time of year, to you, our listeners, and ask that you let us know what book you feel is especially worth reading, a gift to whomever reads the book you recommend. Let us hear your must-reads or your should-reads or your have-to-reads as we compile a list of listener recommendations, which will be available to you later on our website. You can call now, our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or you can post on our website by simply going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of this morning's forum. And in this hour, we open our phone lines to you, our listeners, and invite you to give us your best recommendation for a book you strongly feel others should buy or take out of the local library or simply get to as soon as possible and begin reading. This can be thought of, in fact, as a kind of holiday gift in terms of your recommendation being a gift to those who are looking for a book to read or really want a particular book to read. And this is an hour of your book recommendations. We do this annually, as many of you know, who are regular listeners to this program. And what we get are an extraordinary good range of recommendations of all kinds, fiction, nonfiction, books that are political, books that have to do with changing your life, books you feel people should to read or ought to read, to learn from, to be moved by, to be enlightened by, or to have entertained them, or to simply affect them, as particularly great books can do. You can call now with your recommendations, and we welcome your calls. It's toll-free, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, 866-733-6786. This will be an all-caller hour, so by all means, give us a call. Again, it's toll-free for your recommendations, 866-733-6786. And you can post your recommendation on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. And we're going to do that without emails because we want to have a whole list on our website. And just, in fact, after the program is over, make that list as we do each year and make it available to you, our listeners. So you can simply go to kqed.org and find the list available to you. Normally, I don't make selections of my own. I just kind of engage in conversation with you, the listeners, about what you've read and hear what your recommendations are. I've done things a little differently this year. Obviously, it's always a difficult – when I ask myself, even over the course of a year, let's say, or a lifetime of reading, what are the books I want to recommend? It's sort of like saying, what's the best interview you've ever had? It's almost an impossible kind of question to answer for me. But I took the challenge up somewhat and decided, just on the basis of programs we've done, this is a little dangerous maybe because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but to make some recommendations specifically for fiction, which I'll do toward the end of the hour, fiction that we have featured on Forum this year. In the meantime, let's find out what books you want to recommend. And we begin, Greg, with you. Good morning.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. A while back, you did an interview with Michael Cunningham, who I had never heard speak before, and I just fell in love with him. And as is so often the case, and I thank you for this over and over again, is that you have authors on. Isabel Allende was one of them, who I just, you know, I go out and I have to read everything they've written. The book of Cunningham's that I would recommend, it's not his new one, By Nightfall. I haven't read that one yet, but it's called Specimen Days. Fabulous. Three stories with the thread of Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass running through all three stories. Great fiction, great prose, just an amazing book, and I highly recommend it.
Well, we thank you for that, and let's not forget The Hours by Michael Cunningham as well, which many found quite extraordinary as a read, and was made into, of course, a major motion picture. Let's get Dan on next. Dan, hi.
Hi. I was just calling to recommend The Red Queen by Matt Ridley. It's a book on evolution, but it doesn't really focus on natural selection evolution. It focuses on human selection, or sexual selection, and how it's shaped the human mind and human evolution. It's kind of a different look at I would say what most people check out when they go to the library or the bookstore for books on evolution.
Yeah, thank you for that. We've heard some good things about the Red Queen and appreciate your phoning in with that recommendation. Let's get some more here, and we'll go to Benicia next and welcome Steve onto the air. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going.
My recommendation would be The Seven Pillars of Wisdom by T.E. Lawrence. It really pretty much sets the stage for everything that's going on in the Arabian Peninsula today, and it's just valuable, great background information.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yep.
Seven Pillars of Wisdom. Thank you for that. Again, these books will go on a list, and that list will be available to you, our listeners, on our website by the end of the day. Let me go to Findlay, Ohio, and welcome a caller named Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you doing? I want to recommend A Winter's Tale by Mark Halperin.
Yes.
It's just beautifully written. It's funny. It's dramatic. It's just a wonderful piece of literature.
When I saw Winter's Tale on the screen here, I thought, is he recommending Shakespeare? But, you know, the interesting thing about Mark Halperin, I've not read The Winter's Tale. I've read some other work of his. He's one of the few sort of major literary figures, I think, who was not only a Republican, but he was a speechwriter for Bush 1. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I know that he was involved in some way in British intelligence, I believe.
Yes.
That's correct. No, I didn't know that. He's got quite a few books that I really, really enjoy. The Soldier of the Great War was another one. He's just a beautiful writer.
Yeah.
He reminds me a good bit about, Thomas Wolfe.
Well,
in his writing style.
Stylistically, you're right. He writes beautifully, but Thomas Wolfe, got a bit more carried away than Halperin does. His prose, gets over the top.
Not the contemporary. I'm talking.
No,
about,
I talk about like Don't Go Home Again, Thomas Wolfe. I know who you're talking
right,
about.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But there's a lot more what we call pathetic writing and sentimental writing in that Thomas Wolfe than there is in Mark Halperin. Let me go to more. I don't mean to diss Thomas Wolfe for those of you who love The Web and the Rock or You Can't Go Home Again and so forth. But he did write, shall we say, what we would call overdone. Purple. Jessica, hi, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you.
I'm a librarian with BookPig, and we recommend children's books, so I wanted to recommend Kenneth Opel's new book. It's called Half Brother. It's a great book for boys. It's about a story about a boy who his parents are scientists, and they bring a chimpanzee into their house. And it hasn't gotten a lot of recognition, but it's an excellent book. My daughter got in trouble at school for reading too much. You know, that's a good book.
What age group are you talking about for this book?
Generally, probably about sixth grade and up. Younger kids that are more advanced readers might enjoy it, but it has some complex themes with regards to relationship with the father. He's a very successful scientist, and there's some coming-of-age issues around the boy and his relationship with his father that might be a little bit tough for younger kids. But it's a really compelling story. Actually, my grandmother, who's 86, loved it too. So it's really for any age group.
Well, tell them to lay off your daughter. If she's getting in trouble for too much reading, that's a bad commentary. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you this morning. And let's go to another caller. Peter in Oakland. Hi.
Is that me?
Yeah, if you're Peter, that's you. Yeah.
Pater, actually. It's Pater.
Pater, I'm sorry.
They got it wrong. That's okay.
No, they have it right. I got it wrong. Sorry.
Oh, it happens all the time. They even got it wrong on my driver's license. Anyways, the book I'd like to recommend is The Traveler by John Twelvehawks. It's a first of a three-part series. The other one is The Dark River and The Emerald City. And it's a pretty amazing fiction story. It has a lot to do with some conspiracy ideas about us all being watched by the man and a little bit of... There's a little bit of fantasy action going on in there, too, hence the traveler idea. But this book kind of went through a bunch of friends of mine and was highly recommended by some my roommate's parents, and then went around and around and around. And I've, since in the last year since reading it, have talked to probably 100 people that have read it and just think it's one of the best stories that's come out in years.
Well, I like your enthusiasm for it, Peter, and that would be somewhat infectious, no doubt. It goes down on our list. In fact, all these books do that you're recommending, including those that have come to us on our website. You can post a book of your selection that you recommend on kqed.org/forum and click on the segment. And here are some of those. Monica says, a new-to-me author and two of his books that were in my top 10 fave books list this year, Brida and the Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I can't wait to read all the rest of his books. And other 2010 fave reads, The Female Brain and the Male Brain by Luann Brizendine. And Stuff, Compulsive Hoarding and the Meaning of Things by Gail Stachetti. Luann, of course, was a guest on this program. Kylie says, On Balance by Adam Phillips and The Instructions by Adam Levin. Both Adams. Cecile says, This year I joined the ranks of people who bought Paul Harding's Tinkers, but waited to read it. A wonderful book on a man's character and his connection with his father. And as the granddaughter of a man who lived with epilepsy, I found his descriptions of the experience of a seizure absolutely amazing. I also read two by Marilyn Robinson, Home and Housekeeping. Housekeeping grabbed me from the first page. That's really actually an extraordinary book. Maxime says, a beautiful book I read this year is Callings, Finding and Following an Authentic Life by Greg Lavoie. A beautiful book that shares stories of people who have searched for and found their callings and all the struggles and obstacles, self-afflicted or not, that get in the way. Ali says, hi, the best book I read today was from a Turkish woman named Elif Safak. The book is called The 40 Rules of Love. She was on this program, in fact, also. Renee says, the best book I read this year was Radio Ciudad Perdida, Lost City Radio, by now local author of Peruvian descent Daniel Alarcón. I wanted to give a shout-out to a Latin American writer in an English-heavy segment, though he writes first in English. The book's name refers to a radio station in an unnamed Latin American country which serves desaparecidos and kidnapping victims, trying to reunite them with family. It's a mystery of sorts, but also treats love, war, and memory. Kathy says, best book I read this year was David Mitchell's Cloud Atlas, a series of intertwined novellas advancing in time and written in different styles. Except for the sixth, each is interrupted halfway through by the first half of the next, and after the end of the sixth, the novellas are concluded in reverse order. It's sweeping in its scope, and the writing is delicious. And one of mine, by the way, was The 100 Autumns of Jacob Zoet, which we featured with David Mitchell on the program, one of my fiction selections. Matt says, I recently read True Grit, a book I enjoyed as a kid but hadn't picked up since. I loved it, even more as an adult, and have never read anything that combined adventure and comedy so gracefully, all told through the unique and wonderful voice of the 14-year-old girl narrator. Some more. Peter says, Shadow Tag. It's fiction, compelling, excellent in the voice. And Eric says, Death of the Liberal Class by Chris Hedges. Even though I'm a closet conservative, and Chris Hedges is a member of the progressive left, I agree with much of his blistering critique of the liberal political class. I hope you have Mr. Hedges on forum again. This is another Peter who says, To the End of Land, absolutely amazing, an exploration of love, life, and death, and the girl novels from Sweden with an expose of gender issues and very revealing of the politics on rape and in the news now with Julian Assange. Sweden has the highest rape accusations in the world, three levels of rape. Very interesting to read about. Patricia is joining us next. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to recommend the book, it's nonfiction, The Empire of the Summer Moon. I don't remember the author, but he's the editor of the Texas Quarterly, and the book is based entirely on primary sources. It's the real story of the Searchers, the 1956 movie by John Ford with John Wayne and Natalie Wood. But this is the true story, and it's absolutely totally different from the movie. It's the story of the Comanches, who were the last horse tribe to finally be brought back to the reservations, and of Texas and the Oklahoma Territory, the Indian Territory. And it's the story of how gifted and strong they were militarily. They were outmaneuvering the settlers and driving them back. And the only thing that finally did them in was the Colt repeating revolver, which was too deadly for them. So they had better technology.
We want to give you the author. It's S.C. Gwynn.
S.C. Gwynn. I could not put it down. You learn a lot about the Texas mentality. You understand why Bush wanted to do preemptive strikes into Iraq. It's the Texas Ranger mentality that went after the Indians. But it was an absolutely fabulous read. I really highly recommend it if you want the real scoop on the middle of the 19th century in that part of the country.
Well, I certainly hear the enthusiasm in your voice. And by the way, if you expect to get real stories out of Hollywood, think again. I just read an article, in fact, about this is only in Las Vegas. They're opening a mobster museum in Las Vegas with memorabilia and artifacts of all these mobsters, from, you know, Bugsy Siegel to Lucky Luciano and so forth. And they've got the families involved because the families obviously have memorabilia. The thing that the families were most outraged about, apparently, were the depictions, of course, in movies. And to a person, they all said, had nothing to do with the way things really happened. They're talking about, like, Casino and The Godfather and things that were based on truth or were actually supposed to be, in fact, close to the truth. Let's go to more of your calls, and we go to Ariel next. Hi.
Hi. I've been in the United States for about 20 years now and have come across people talking about an event as if it does not occur. And there's a book that displays this event pretty clearly. The book is named The Book of Spirits, or The Spirits Book. The name of the author is Allan Kardec. And it's a compilation of 1,000 questions and answers between the scientists in France in the 1900s and people who could channel spirits. So it's 1,000 questions and answers where they ask spirits all types of questions about the afterlife and life, and it's pretty not proselytizing, and it's not religious, and it's just a very useful toolbook for people who are just incredibly curious about things that happen at the invisible level in life and afterlife.
Well, a good review. Good synopsis. Thank you, Ariel. I appreciate your calling, and we'll get as many of your recommendations on as we can. We're going to go to Rachel next. Rachel, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, thank you.
I wanted to recommend the book Running Out of Water by Susan Leal. I actually heard about it on your show on Forum.
It was on Friday, but Susan is an old friend and, of course, former San Francisco supervisor.
Right. I have to say, I just really, really loved it. I felt like I learned a lot. Like, I hadn't known, for example, that snow is a natural storage system for water. I didn't realize that agriculture was one of the big users of water in our country. And I really felt, after reading it, that I was more informed in terms of voting for things that could help us in terms of water management. And I'm giving it as a gift this year to a whole bunch of people with a reusable stainless steel water bottle, and I'm hoping it will convince them to use the water bottle. So,
do you know about Peter Glick's book? Peter Glick also has written a book about water, and Cadillac Desert is always a book that I come back to. If you want to learn particularly about the politics of water in California, what an eye-opener.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for the recommendation.
Well, thank you so much for your recommendation, and good to hear from you this morning. Let's hear from more of our callers. Matt joins us. Hi, Matt.
Hi, good morning. I really enjoyed Stephen Elliott's book, The Adderall Diaries, A Memoir of Moods, Masochism, and Murder.
Yeah, did you hear him on Forum?
I did. I thought it was your program, and yeah. I found it a really interesting interview, went out, bought the book, and was really glad to have read it. I'm usually not one to read murder mystery type books, but I enjoyed how Stephen Elliott incorporated his own experiences growing up in Chicago and then moving out to San Francisco in the Bay Area.
Yeah, Stephen is a talent, and thank you for mentioning his book. Adderall Diaries was first recommended to me, in fact, by Tobias Wolff. Talk about talent, you know, one of our great short story writers, and I was certainly glad to get that recommendation because at the time I hadn't even heard of Stephen Elliott. Susan is our next caller. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And the book I want to recommend is nonfiction. It's called War in the Age of Intelligent Machines. The author is Manuel de Landa, capital D-E and then L-A-N-D-A, published by Zone Books in 1994 and distributed by the MIT Press. And it's very technical, but it's a dark, delicious read about robotics, artificial intelligence, our NSA, our CIA, and the development of the new computerized weapons and surveillance technology, the Predator drones, basically, that we're using now. A lot of indicators of the bad foreign policy that are causing some of the reactions. I was listening to the earlier program that you did with the tendency to blame the messengers rather than the policy that's directing what's going on. And I think this book is crucial to understand how our technology is really shaping how people feel about us in Yemen, the use of them early in the, 2002, now in Pakistan, Afghanistan. And these are flesh-shredding machines. It's ugly stuff, but the material, his sources are brilliant, the science is impeccable, and I totally recommend it. It gets more and more relevant.
Well, it sounds like an important book. What's the author's name again?
Oh, his name is Manuel De Landa, M-A-N-U-E-L, capital D-E, and then capital L-A-N-D-A. MIT Press distributes it. He has quite a web presence, and lots of good stuff about the NSA, drone technology, and the kind of computer coding and robotics that makes these things possible. How it's gotten into our culture, the video games, the way we think. It's even an education into basic computer coding for those of us who don't know. It's about the zeros and ones.
Well, it's
also very human and the human cost of these kinds of things.
Sounds like a whole postgraduate education. Thank you, Susan, for that. Since Susan's mentioning that book, I'm looking at some recommendations along more political lines. One of our listeners says, All the Shah's Men, An American Coup and the Roots of Middle East Terror by Stephen Kinzer. Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA by Tim Weiner, who won the Pulitzer Prize and was featured on Forum. And The Puzzle Palace, Inside the National Security Agency, America's Most Secret Intelligence Organization by James Bamford. There's some good political recommendations for you from a listener. Some more listener recommendations. Drew in Berkeley says, David Mitchell. After hearing him speak with Michael Krasny on Forum, I have to recommend in this order Cloud Atlas, Ghostwritten, and The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet. Fantastic. Thank you for introducing me to him. You're welcome. Debbie says, On Beauty by Zadie Smith, a biracial family in Boston goes through growing pains as the marriage disintegrates and the teenagers grow up satirical without being stuffy. Characters that jump off the page. I hope it becomes a literary classic. Marshall writes, I've been wanting any platform to advocate for two amazing books in the last few years. Acedia and Me, A Marriage, Monks, and a Writer's Life by Kathleen Norris, and The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Both amazing. More comments from you, our listeners. Alex Kokotakis, the best book I've read this year is Super Sad True Love Story by Gary Steingart. That's on my list, Alex. The satire on the near future, illiterate America, morally and financially bankrupt. That's a good way to describe it. And he says, my favorite book of all time is Unbearable Lightness of Being by Milan Kundera. It just gives me chills thinking about it. I love that novel, too, and love Kundera's work. And I must say that Phil Kaufman's film of The Unbearable Lightness of Being is one of my favorite all-time films. Best book I read, Dean writes, in 2010, I owe Forum a thanks for finally getting me to read it, Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It's a classic that I never had assigned to me in any class, high school or college, and I had avoided it at libraries and bookstores because it seemed outdated and quaint. But after listening to a Forum show on the life of Twain, I was finally educated as to why it was such an important novel for its time. With this newfound knowledge, I approached the book, cover and all, with an open mind, and I'm glad I did. Well, more of your listener recommendations. Stephanie says, I love Dave Eggers' Zeitoun. Gripping, frustrating, relevant. Agree, it's a wonderful book. Matt says, two fiction books I love this year were Jonathan Franzen's Freedom and David Mitchell's Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet. The first is wonderful storytelling. The second is a great story combined with virtuoso writing. And that says it very well for me. I had Franzen on my list as well. We're getting my whole list here without my even having to go on them of best fiction works that I thought deserved mention on this program. Too Much Happiness by Alice Munro, Larry says. Always remarkable stories, more like novels, and don't forget Moby Dick forever. How can we forget Moby Dick? Or Alice Munro, who may be our best short story writer of them all. We'll find out more of your recommendations when we return. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're finding out what the best book you read this year is. We're opening our phone lines and asking you, our listeners, recent and all-time favorites, and make a recommendation of a book that you think is a must-read or a should-read as we come upon the Christmas season. And again, the phone number, and our phone lines are full now, but please do grab a phone when it becomes available, is 866-733-6786. That's a toll-free line. You can also post your recommendation on our website. We're using a website here rather than emails because it's much easier to just transfer onto the website once we have the whole list. So if you have a recommendation, I know it's hard to get to one or two. One is best, by the way. But some people are sending in a dozen books, and you know it's wonderful that people are that enthusiastic about that many books. But if you can't get through on the phone lines, just post it on the website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. And Aidan Stone, ace intern and former student of mine who I finally got to read Faulkner, came in here and said, "Light in August." And indeed, for those of you who may have thought Faulkner inaccessible or formidable or too difficult, Light in August is a novel that is most accessible, and it's an extraordinary novel. Let's go to more of your calls, and Stephen is next up. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, Michael.
Morning.
You know, I want to just recommend George Carlin's Last Words, which was a kind of a memoir slash autobiography. And I just thought it was really fascinating to kind of finally get a glimpse at his upbringing in New York post World War II and his interactions with Lenny Bruce, and just a really interesting kind of overall commentary on the on how this otherwise kind of predecessor to Lenny Bruce just kind of how the creative process evolved over time. And I'm I'm a mere 23 years of age and grew up with him, you know, starting with all the great HBO comedy classics, and even got a chance to actually see him perform in just before he passed, actually. And so it was just a really great just to finally get the inner scoop.
I think Carlin was preceded by Lenny Bruce, wasn't he? You said, I think.
Well, if I
I think you may need to reverse that, but
you know, you may be right. I actually may be off on that, but I mean, insofar as I know that he was certainly an indelible influence on him, but I may be wrong.
I think probably more Bruce an influence on Carlin, but certainly Carlin has had an influence on, you know, scores of comedians. And
Sure.
The early George Carlin, I think, is in some ways brilliant. Later George Carlin had some of Lenny Bruce's problems. He got too bogged down in, I think, didacticism and, you know, sermonizing and all that. That's just my opinion for what it's worth. It's just an opinion. Diamond Dave, join us.
Yo, hey, first of all, hey, Michael, hey, everybody. First of all, I want to say that Chris Hedges is going to be on my show on Pirate Cat Radio at 3 o'clock tomorrow on piratecatradio.com. But the book I want to talk
Shameless.
About... Shameless. Dave?
You're shameless, Diamond Dave, hyping public pirate radio on public radio.
No, it's online, but shameless maybe. But anyway, but I had to say at 3 o'clock tomorrow. But anyway, the book, and I wonder if she's a friend of yours. I'm talking about Elif Batuman, her book, The Possessed, Russian Books and the People in Love with Them. It's uproariously funny and highly intelligent. It begins where she was in the graduate Russian department in Stanford, goes from there. She's a Tolstoy scholar at the Tolstoy estate in Russia, and then to the Far East Russia, one of the Azerbaijan kind of countries, where she's studying there. She's Turkish herself. She's now she lives here, but she's now she became a friend of mine. I love the book so much, I tracked her down. And she's now a writer in residence in Istanbul. Her roots are Turkish, but she lives right here. Do you know her, Elif Batuman?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's called The Possessed, Russian Books and the People Who Love Them. And it's uproariously funny, highly intelligent, and she has this amazing ability of summarizing, like, Tolstoy's War and Peace, or in a couple of paragraphs, and the woman is amazing.
She sounds like you're mad for her, from the sounds of it, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. It's
You're a bit possessed yourself, huh?
She's one of the few people I know who I got a talking to her and get to know her. And she was on my show. She has had a cover story a couple of weeks ago in the New York Times Magazine on the search for the Kafka manuscripts. And she goes all the way to Tel Aviv, and it's about cats, because it turns out the woman who has, I don't know if you know the story, who has control of the manuscripts, they're in a bank vault in Zurich. And she goes, she tracks all of this down, has between 80 and 100 cats in her apartment in Tel Aviv.
All right, Dave, I thank you for that. A lot of detail. Let me go to more calls. Tom, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know, a book I've read here recently, which I really like, and I don't know if this author's been on your program or not. It's name of the book is Why Your World is About to Get a Whole Lot Smaller by Jeff Rubin. And Jeff Rubin is an economist, used to be with CIB, and what he does is his main thing is oil, and he tells you that we're out of the cheap oil that pumps out of the water, out of the ground like water. And what he says is that, you know, when you look right now today, oil's trading at $80 a barrel, and the economy's still in the, you know, in the toilet. He says it's got no place to go but up. And he says that when gas hits $7, $8, $9, $10 a gallon here in the United States, it's actually going to be the best thing that ever happened to our economy because we're going to start making stuff here again.
Okay, I appreciate that recommendation. And again, all these recommendations are going to be on our website and available to you, our listeners. And we'll get another caller on the air here. Michael, that's you. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning. I listened with a lot of interest to the woman who talked about Empire of the Summer Moon, the book about the Comanche history, which I found really interesting. The book that I think goes along well with that I read before it is called The Worst Hard Time. I was just trying to look up the author's name, but it's about the Great Plains and the Dust Bowl, and the book conveys both the majesty of the Great Plains before the Dust Bowl, and then, of course, the tremendous tragedy of the Dust Bowl era itself. But it really lays out the history of that part of our continent.
It's a Timothy Egan author book.
Yeah, that sounds right. But an amazingly fascinating book in itself, and a great book to go along with the Empire of the Summer Moon, which is about really all of the horse tribes who lived in that part of the continent and what their world was like. I thought they made a good pair.
Well, you may have given a companion book there, and I thank you for that. It's amazing in this whole process, not only the range of books that are recommended, but how, you know, one recommendation can trip off another in your consciousness or in your mind or heart, and so it goes. We'll go to Washington, D.C. is where we'll go next. Brian, welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you.
The book I wanted to recommend was by Elliot Perlman. He's an Australian author, and the book is called Seven Types of Ambiguity.
He stole the title. I don't know if you know that. William Empson, a literary critic, wrote a book under that same title.
Did he steal a title? Maybe he got away with that under Australian copyright laws. I'm not certain. The book is really fabulous prose, a really good reading. It's told from it's a story about a missing child and characters revolving around the missing child, friends, family, relatives. And it's told from seven different perspectives, and I think it takes a really adult look at people's positions and the perceptions, the way we perceive people and their actions. And you get a different perspective from each narrator of the story.
Well, thank you so much for that, Brian. Good to hear from you. And let's hear from what some of our listeners are saying online. Steve says, you must read The White Tiger by Aravind Adiga, an amazingly vibrant and profane portrait of modern India. And Sarah writes, The King of California, J.G. Boswell, and The Making of a Secret American Empire by Max Ericks and Rick Wortman, nonfiction, a fascinating history of turning Tulare Lake into a vast agricultural region, by the Boswell family. This book has political and human drama and covers the development of California's water for agriculture. It's a wonderful read about California's Central Valley history. Morris writes, Madness at the Gates of the City, The Myth of American Innocence. We featured that book on Forum. A great read, nonfiction, by Barry Spector, who's from Menlo Park. Elisa writes, The best book of 2010 is Through the Heart of the South by Jody Meacham. It's a novel, engaging story of a high school senior in an entire town struggling with the first integrated class in their small southern town. I love the characters, learned a great deal about what integration meant on an individual level, and the backdrop and details about the railroads and small towns framed a page turner. It was informative and a very fun read. Regina recommends The Life and Death of the Great American School System by Diane Ravitch, which also, of course, is featured on Forum. She says, very enlightening book that has helped me make sense of my experience working in two charter schools after having worked in low-income public schools. She warns of the perils and complications of allowing private foundations to run and donate large sums of money to underfunded schools. It's an important book and by a former Bush administration official. And if you've seen Waiting for Superman, it's a book that I think you really should read in conjunction with that. There's my 2 cents. Here's some more 2 cents from listeners. Cindy says, A Christmas Memory by Truman Capote is one of those read-aloud books, almost like Twas the Night Before Christmas. I know everyone is thinking Capote and In Cold Blood, but this is a beautiful, heartwarming story, often solidly paired with The Thanksgiving Tale by Capote. Alan recommends Kingbird Highway by Ken Kaufman. It's Kaufman's autobiography, who at age 16 attempted to break the record for the most birds seen in North America. Unlike today's listeners who fly everywhere to see birds, Kaufman hitchhikes, eats pet food, and ends up in jail just to find birds. This book should be a bit of an antidote to the soon-to-be-released film The Big Year. And it's good for non-birders as well, he says. Brian says, I'd like to recommend a fiction titled The Children's Book by A.S. Byatt, a big, thick book that is not actually a book for children, but includes a fascinating look at turn-of-the-20th-century radical thinkers, artists, and activists. I needed the internet nearby to research all the references. Great book. There's somebody recommending Your Inner Fish by Neil Shubin, which was on forum quite some time ago. It's a book that has gotten glowing reports from friends who usually just roll their eyes when I get excited about natural history. It's so conversational and fascinating, they say. And a listener named Skya writes, a great book to share is Farm City by local Oakland author Novella Carpenter. Not only is she a fabulous writer, she humorously, poignantly, and very entertainingly documents her beginnings of establishing a renegade farm in the middle of urban Oakland. She was on forum with Dave, wasn't she, Judy? Yeah. Kenny writes, The Cruel Sea by Nicholas Montserrat. It's now nearly 60 years old, but still a wonderful read. It's a tale of two officers in the Royal Navy in World War II, a page-turner, but wonderfully developed characters. And Jim says, My Netflix are stacking up because I can't put down Zane Grey's Western Legends. Great storyteller. Brian says, It's about the evolution of consciousness, the book called The White Hole in Time by Peter Russell, and the trajectory and destiny of humanity from a physics perspective. I don't think you get more of a bigger picture than in this book. Let's go to more of your calls. From Oakland, Amelia, welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for promoting literacy. Very important. My very favorite book all year has been George Akerlof's Animal Spirits. Now, Akerlof is the UC professor of economics who won the Nobel Prize, I think it was in 2006. And this book takes up where John Maynard Keynes left off, and it addresses the question in a really entertaining fashion of what are these animal spirits? Why doesn't the economy behave in a mechanistic fashion? It's like, why can't you drop wages in order to boost things up? So he explores seven animal spirits. One is confidence. We know about investor confidence, etc. The second is money illusion. There are various ways money is illusory. And sense of fairness. People's sense of fairness will not is reason why wages are sticky. And
instead of giving all seven, Amelia, why don't we leave it at those three and it'll tease people maybe to find out what the other four are. And thank you for that recommendation. And we get Don on next. Hi, Don.
Hello, Michael. Thanks for the program. I'd like to recommend Barcelona and Modernity, Picasso, Gaudi, Miro, and Dali. Do you know the book?
I don't know the book. Is it an art book?
Yeah, it's an art book containing numerous essays as well as 600 illustrations of the rise and the force of contemporary art in the Catalonian area, and they outline the principal artists, which, as I've mentioned, Picasso, Gaudi, and Miro, and Dali. And finally, the whole concept of modern art does eventually rise to the surface, and then it's out in public. I recommend it. It's an art book, and it was a very good price, only $65.
Was it an Abrams book, do you know? Or
Taschen, I think.
Taschen, yeah, okay.
I think.
Yeah.
And there was a great show in the Cleveland Art Museum as well as New York, and it's on those two shows, or that show, I guess, that this book was committed to.
Well, we thank you for that. And again, this whole list that you're hearing in the course of this hour from listeners, listener-generated, will be available to you on our website by the end of the day, and we'll get more of your calls on. And Jason, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Hi, I just wanted to recommend Travels in Siberia by Ian Fraser. I first read excerpts from this in the New Yorker a couple of years ago, and just I had to read them twice. They were so good. And the book finally came out a few months ago, and it's just fantastic. The writing is incredible, and it's totally enthralling.
Okay. I thank you for that. Some really enthusiastic people here recommending books. Also, they're not emails. They're mostly postings, because I asked for postings mainly. But here's Catherine Schultz being wrong. Robert from Santa Rosa says, best book I've read in 20 years. And she was also on forum about a year ago or so. Anthony says, my favorite book of 2010 was Sea of Poppies by Amitav Ghosh, a funny, entertaining, adventurous novel about the opium trade between England, India, and China in the 1800s for people who love foreign languages. Nani writes, Steve Paulson's new book, Adams and Eden, Conversations on Religion and Science. It consists of 20 conversations with the most important thinkers on the subject, including E.O. Wilson, Robert Wright, Daniel Dennett, Ken Wilber, Jane Goodall, Paul Davies, Steven Weinberg, Richard Dawkins, etc. All sharp, clear, articulate, and learned. Jake says, my choice for a book of this year is undoubtedly Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape. If everyone on Earth were to read this book and reevaluate their lives using the framework he suggests, the world would be a much, much better place. And again, that's in our archives, that conversation with Sam Harris. Nancy says, I recommend Unmasking Law, the conservative campaign to roll back the common law by legal scholar Professor J.M. Feinman. It's an accessible and important work. Anne says, Waiting for the Barbarians was my favorite book of the year by J.M. Coetzee. It won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2003. The book was taught to me in a class I took last spring called Ethics, Alterity, and the Novel. It's a beautiful book filled with allegory and meaning. And a book recommendation from Rick in San Jose is Shop Class as Soulcraft by Matthew Crawford. A great read, he says. It makes you really think about the value of work and how we attach value to what we create. And we'll bring more of our calls on from Los Angeles. It's Jessica. Hi. Jessica, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, are you there? No?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My book is The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. It's a profile of a woman whose cancer cells, cervical cancer cells, were used in the 1950s to pioneer most of the science that we have on cancer research, diabetes, the human genome. And it parallels the story of the author trying to make contact with the family and all the struggles that they've been through and the sort of exploitation of that family for their cells. It's a really amazing book. And quite a few people have attempted to contact the family, but she's been the only person to really get through to them and get the story of what happened.
The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. Thank you for that, Jessica.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you this morning. And now we go right over to San Jose, and James is joining us. Hi, James.
Hey, one of my recommendations is my all-time favorite. It's beautifully written, it's romantic, it's suspenseful, there's drama, and, of course, sexual tension. It's by E.M. Forster's Maurice.
Yeah, that was his homosexual novel, as it's been called.
Yeah, it's I don't want to ruin the ending for anyone, but it's one of the great gay love story with a happy ending. I mean, talk about it gets better campaign. This novel is a it gets better novel, and it was such a catalyst for me in my coming out years.
Well, thank you for that recommendation, and frankly, anything by Forrester is worth reading. Passage to India is an extraordinary book. And let me go to more of your calls here, and we'll get a caller on from Floyd, Virginia. That's you, Casey. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for the call, and I'm really enjoying the show and getting a lot of good tips.
Great.
The book that I'm recommending isn't a current book. It's from John Grisham. It's The Testament. I've read everything he's written. But this particular book stands out in my mind because of his use of words to paint a scene. I really felt it was based more in South America as opposed to many of his books. And you just felt like you were there in South America. His ability to paint that scene with his words was just astounding to me. The story was good as well. It wasn't a courtroom story like many of his books. It dealt with a somewhat flawed character that was cast kind of a chance at redemption to find a missionary working with a remote tribe and notify her of a certain inheritance. And it just was a really good read. As I said, the scenery that was painted in my mind lasts forever. When the book was over, I hated turning the last page because I just wanted it to go on and on. It's too bad that there aren't more books written on that kind of theme because of the imagery. But during this book as well, there was some kind of a renaissance that went on with this flawed character. He learned a lot. the individual missionary that he worked with was a very religious, very spiritual person. Not a religious person, as you might think, but a very spiritual person, very dedicated to her work. So I won't ruin the ending, but it was very
good. Please don't. But again, your enthusiasm, and you know, thank you for that call. It's uplifting to hear all this love of books and people loving books. You know, that feeling of getting the last page and thinking, oh no, it's come to the end. And but I must say, and I don't mean this in any snobbish way, if you like John Grisham, then read Scott Turow, because he's a much more literate and talented type of writer of those courtroom dramas, though she said this book is quite different than the usual Grisham fare. Let's get a caller on from Berkeley. Nancy, hi.
Hi. This is not the best book ever written, but it was a really, really interesting read. It's called The Help, and the woman's name is Catherine, and her last name starts with an S.
Stockett, S-T-O-C-K-E-T-T.
Thank you. And it takes place in the 1960s in the South, and it's about the women who are maids in families not really ultra-rich but upper-middle class, and what their life is like in working for these families. And it's just an incredible book. It took me a long time to read it because I kept saying, I kept poo-pooing it, but I got a lot of recommendations from friends, and I finally sat down and read it and recommended it to friends of mine and everybody.
Well, now you've recommended it to all your friends out there.
Everybody loved it. And I just want to make one other, and that was E.L. Doctorow's The March, a book from a few years ago that is with me always. It's just a fabulous book.
Yeah, you can go online to our archives and hear the interview I did with Dr.
Yeah,
on the March.
Yeah, I listen all the time.
And thank you, Nancy,
thank
for
you.
Those recommendations. The Help was a national bestseller, I believe, wasn't it? Well, let's find out some more of what your recommendations are. And it's still not too late to post them on our website. As I said, the listing will go out later today of all that we've heard in the course of this hour, and you can post one at simply kqed.org/forum and click on the segment. And we'll go to Williston, and Tia joins us from up there in Williston. Hi.
Hey, hi. How are you doing? I can hardly hear you, but I will tell you that my favorite read this year has been Honeybee Democracy by Thomas Seeley. It's a really fascinating book. I am a beekeeper, so and you might think I'm prejudiced, but it's an amazing story that he explains in detail how honeybees get together and vote on whether or not they should swarm, why they should swarm, and the whole thing. And it kind of relates directly to our democracy and maybe how our democracy should be going with a popular vote and that kind of thing. It's really a fascinating read. I think even if you're not interested in honeybees, it would give you some understanding. And under the circumstances right now with the problems we're having with honeybees, I think any education when it comes to them is an asset to the country.
Well, thank you, Tia. Good to hear from you up in Williston. And as I say, we'll get as many of you on here as we can. We go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Leo joins us. Hi, Leo.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'd like to recommend the book, The Wrecker. It's by Clive Cussler.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's back in the turn of the century with the railroads and how one railroad magnate is trying to expand south of Donner Pass in California, and how, you know, there is a congressman or a senator that is trying to impede his progress and reap the benefit from it from financial houses outside the country.
Sounds like it's a good fast-paced read, huh?
Yes, it is.
With a lot of history embedded? And
a lot of history, it brings to light a lot of technology of the age that I know that I found interesting because I didn't know they had it.
Well, thank you for that. But getting all kinds of, as I said, you know, the range is extraordinary. recommendation here for The Fall and Decline of the Roman Empire by Gibbons. Graham says it's long, arduous, and somewhat impossible, but worth it. And Justin says, beginning of 2010, I read one of the most influential books of my life. That book was Living in the Heart by Drinvalo Melchizedek, a number of short stories regarding the vast range of human potential and the higher levels of consciousness, threaded by a theme of finding the sacred space inside your heart and living your life through that spot. And by the way, this conversation on books will continue on our website after the show. Simply go to kqed.org/forum. And I also want to mention kqed.org's weekly reading series, The Writer's Block, which features stories, essays, and poetry by all kinds of writers, from the accomplished beginners to established authors. You can hear readings by writers like David Mitchell, Gary Steingart, Paul Harding, Michael Cunningham, Stephen Elliott, and others simply by visiting kqed.org/writer's block. And I did say that I was going to mention my five works of fiction over the course of this year. Three have already been mentioned. Four have already been mentioned. Super Sad True Love Story by Gary Steingart, The Thousand Autumns of Adam DeZoet by Stephen Mitchell, and By Nightfall by Michael Cunningham. Freedom by Jonathan Franzen also I included in my list. And the fifth for me was A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan. Those are five, but you know, there's so many that terrific books. Nemesis by Philip Roth, and I said Stephen. It is David. Thank you, Judy. The Lover by Wendell Avedo also would get on kind of the honorary list, as it were. And go to our website and find out what people have been recommending. I'm just looking at the screen here with time running out. Anne Cherie from Nevada wanted Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer. Jean wanted Wuthering Heights. Diane wanted The Year of Rice, or Years of Rice and Salt. And Peter wanted The Last Unicorn. Sorry we couldn't get you on, but at least we got the titles on. And thank you all for your recommendations. Keep reading. And keep this literacy and love of books vital and alive. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and hours repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. I want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Also, our engineer, Danny Bringer, and our interns, Suki Lewis and Aiden Stone, and Elena Catavani, who we have to say goodbye to, but wish the best of luck. I also want to tell you that our executive producer is Raul Ramirez, and I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.